We're now ready to begin the 13th chapter of 2 Samuel. And we find that David is now in a position to start receiving some of the punishment for his sin with Bathsheba. In 2 Samuel 12, verse 11, the previous chapter, God had told David that he would raise up evil against him out of his own house. This was in order to chastise him in this matter of Uriah. David was told this by Nathan the prophet. And here in the very next chapter, the 13th chapter, we find the evil beginning to rise. After this, David was followed with one trouble after another, which made the latter part of his reign less glorious and less pleasant than the first part of his reign. So God chastened him with the rod of men, yet at the same time God assured him that his loving kindness would not utterly be taken away. Adultery and murder were David's sins, and those sins among his children were also repeated. They were the beginnings of the punishment of David, and they were the more grievous to David because he had reason to think that he had set them the improper example to lead them into this, to lead them into this wickedness, so that much of the blame fell squarely upon David. So, beginning with the first verse of chapter 13, "And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her." So here we see the situation. Absalom, who was the son of David by Maacah, had a sister named Tamar, who was also the daughter of this same woman, Maacah. And Amnon, another son of David, who was his oldest son by a woman by the name of Ahinoam, he had a feeling which he interpreted as love for his half-sister Tamar. He loved her. Now, we know that this wasn't true love, because true love doesn't do anything to work harm to another. But he had this feeling of lust, this feeling of passion for her. It was a depraved feeling. It was a feeling that came only out of wickedness and sin and corruption. And so we interpreted it as love. It may very well be that Amnon had a very poor character. He might have been guilty of this type of thing before, whether known or unknown. Certainly it wasn't known to Tamar. But at any rate, we see here a lust, a sin that is coming into full bloom now, that's interpreted as being love, and it's not love at all. Verse 2, "And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin." Now, due to the fact that Tamar was a virgin, he knew that he would not be able to consume his lust upon her. He knew that he would not be able to consummate this sin that he so desperately wanted to do. She was of a much higher character than that, and she would not permit it. She was a virgin. Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. He realized it was just going to be most difficult to do what he desired to do, and so he felt sick for her. He was vexed, and we see that it's the forbidden fruit that is so much the thing that gets a hold of mankind. He wants the thing that's forbidden him. No doubt, Amnon could have had any one of a number of other women. He may have already been doing this. He may have already been guilty of the sin of fornication or adultery. But no, he wanted this one thing that he couldn't have. He wanted his half-sister. She was a virgin, and he knew it would be hard for him to do anything to her. So he fell sick for her. He was vexed. This thing consumed him. It possessed him, the desire to have the forbidden fruit. And so we have to realize that this is one of the natures of man that we have to be able to overcome. We have to be able to conquer this thing of always wanting to have that which is forbidden, never being satisfied with that which we can have, but always wanting to have something then that we really shouldn't be allowed to have. And that was the case here of Amnon and his half-sister Tamar. So he fell sick, that is, he was lovesick. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. Now, he looked upon Jonadab as being his friend. He was actually his kinsman, his cousin. But actually, we find that since Jonadab was so deeply involved in assisting Amnon in his sin, that he really wasn't a friend at all. He was an enemy to him. Anytime someone is willing to assist us in doing a sin, they're willing to encourage it, they're willing to promote it, then they're really not our friend at all. Although we may think of them as a friend, they may portray themselves as a friend, they really are not a friend. They are our enemy. Jonadab was a very subtle man. That is, he had the ability to work things out through subterfuge, through deceit, through working in an underhanded manner so that he could bring about the thing he wanted to bring about without being really that open about it. So, verse 4 says, "And he said unto him, Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me?" So, the approach that Jonadab made to Amnon was this: "You're the king's son." Actually, he was the oldest of David's sons. He was supposed to be the next in line to reign. He had every reason to be happy, to be healthy, to be well fed, to have a bright outlook on life, because he, of all the people in the kingdom, had a very great, high, prestigious position in his father's house. So Jonadab asked him the question, "Why art thou, being the king's son, why are you lean from day to day? Why are you not feeling well? Why are you not eating properly? Why are you losing weight? Tell me, what's the problem?" And Amnon said unto him, "I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister." So he confided in Jonadab what his feelings were. "I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister." And Jonadab said unto him, now we see where Jonadab plots a way where Amnon can fulfill his wicked lusts. Jonadab said unto him, "Lay thee down on thy bed, and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat, and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it, and eat it at her hand." So here was the plan. He tells Amnon to lay on the bed and make thyself sick. Now he was already sick for wanting to fulfill his lusts, wanting to fulfill this deep, dark passion that burned inside of him for his half-sister. He already was sick from that standpoint, but he was now to make himself sick. That is, he was to pretend that he was sick to the point that he had to take his bed. And when he did this, then his father David, who would have a deep concern over one of his sons being sick, one of his children ill, like any father should and like any mother should, David would then come to check on him, come to ask about him. And so we see this is one of the great qualities of David, that he didn't really neglect his family. When one of his children was ill, David came to his bedside to try to assist him. We'd like to note here also that it's a very common thing for man to feign illness so that he can accomplish some kind of a goal or end that he has in mind. Many times children learn this. When they don't want to go to school, they pretend to be sick. When they don't want to work, they pretend to be sick. And they fall into a pattern of learning to do this to gratify their own ends and aims. And we need to be on guard to not allow ourselves to be in the position of pretending like we're sick so that we can get some kind of gain from it. But that's what happened here in the case of Amnon. He made himself sick. And so when his father came, he was able then to get all kinds of sympathy from him. He was able to gain David to his plot, David doing it unwittingly, unknowingly, because he had a feeling for his son in that he was sick. So Jonadab tells him, he says, "When thy father cometh to see thee, say to him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat and dress the meat in my sight that I may see it and eat it at her hand." Here the man wasn't eating properly. He apparently was losing weight. And so David would ask about this. And he was to tell David, "The only thing that I'm going to be able to eat, the only thing that's going to get my appetite back and help me get back on my feet, is for my sister Tamar to come and fix me some meat. And I want to be sure that she's the one that fixes it. I want to see her do it. I want to be able to witness the fact that she is actually preparing it with her own hands. And then I think I'll be able to eat something. And I want to see it, and I want to eat it at her hand. So he convinces David that this is the only thing that's going to be able to get him to return to the state of health. It's the only thing that's going to bring his appetite back, is for him to see his sister Tamar prepare him some meat and let him eat it at her hand. Now this says a lot for Tamar. This lets us know that she, although she was the daughter of the king, although she was in a very high position in the land, she was used to doing household duties. She was used to preparing meat, dressing it, and cooking it, and making it proper so that it could be eaten. And it's not just a matter of her doing it this one time for her brother, because she already knew how to do this. So here was a woman who could have had all kinds of assistance from servants and maids, since she was the daughter of the king, but yet she knew how to go about household duties and prepare a meal for her brother. And of course, her brother knew this. He knew she could do it, and that's one of the reasons he made this type of a request, because it seemed to be a very reasonable thing in view of the type of person that Tamar was. So Amnon lay down and made himself sick. Here again we see that this is mostly a feigned illness. He's not truly sick from a physical standpoint. He's sick in the head, all right, or he wouldn't be wanting to plot this kind of wickedness. But he's not sick from the standpoint of not being able to be up and about and eat. But he made himself sick, and when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar my sister come, and make me a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat it at her hand. So he carries out the plot that Jonadab lays out for him to do. He tells David what he needs in order to get well. He needs his sister to come and prepare these cakes for him in his own sight, so that he can witness that she is the one that prepares it, and then he wants to eat it at her hand. That is, he wants her to serve it to him so that he can eat it right there in her presence. So this was convincing to David. David felt compassion for his sick son, his eldest son. He wanted to do whatever could be feasibly done to help the man to get well, and so this seemed like a plausible thing, that his sister come and prepare him some food that he'd be familiar with, so that he knew that he could eat and help him to gain his strength. So verse 7 says, Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, Go now to thy brother Amnon's house, and dress him meat. So David actually gives the command, or the order, or the request to his daughter to go to his brother Amnon's house and dress him meat. Now Tamar was completely innocent in this. She no doubt felt that her father surely wouldn't ask her to do anything that was wrong or that was questionable. It was her brother who was ill. Her father had been over to see him and investigated the matter, and he was convinced that there was a legitimate problem, and here was something she could do to help. And so verse 8 says, So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house. And so we see then that she did carry out the desire of her father, and she was a very innocent person in this, but she's going to be made a victim of this terrible, terrible sin and passion of Amnon. So verse 8 further says, And he was laid down, and she took flour, and kneaded it, and made cakes in his sight, and did bake the cakes. So here Tamar is fulfilling the desire, the request of her brother Amnon. He wants her to make these cakes in his sight so he can see that she's the one that makes them. She makes them in person and presents them to him. And she took a pan and poured them out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, Have all men from me. And they went out every man from him. So here again, we find Amnon has taken the thing a step further so he can perpetrate this terrible crime. He has all the men to leave so that there will only be he and his sister alone in this room. And Amnon said unto Tamar, Bring the meat into the chamber, that I may eat of thine hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them into the chamber to Amnon her brother. So we see that here again she is still innocent in this matter. She was wanting to help her brother who is sick. She complied with his request to bring them right into his bedroom so that he can eat them. And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, Come lie with me, my sister. So now we see he is emboldened by his passion. His lust has now come all the way to the surface, so that there's now no secret, no hiding, no disguising what his true intentions are. He takes hold of his sister. He takes hold of Tamar and tells her to come lie with me, my sister. And she answered him, Nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. So we see that she is wholly 100% against this. She resists his efforts. She tries to persuade him not to do this. She says, No, do not force me. I'll not do it willingly, and please do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. You're asking me to do something. You're desiring to do something that is a terrible sin. It's a crime. It's a sin against God. No Israelite should ever be guilty of this thing. It should not be once named among the people of God. And she says, Do not thou this folly. It is folly. It is sin. It is not the actions of a rational person. It's not the actions of a person who is truly using good judgment, or any kind of judgment at all, so far as what's right and what's wrong is concerned. Do not thou this folly. So she tries to talk him out of it. She pleads with him. She uses reason. She uses her very best in the way of persuasive efforts to restrain her brother from doing this terrible thing. Then she further says in verse 13, And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? So look at what's going to happen after this is over. It's going to be such a terrible shame. I'll not be able to look anybody in the face. I'll be a person branded with shame if you carry this out. You're going to ruin me. Just don't do this thing. And then she further says, And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. It's not only going to make me a person filled with shame, it's not only going to ruin my life in that area, but you're going to be as one of the fools of Israel. You'll never be regarded as a wise person, as a person that has good judgment, as a person that should be looked up to as any kind of a good example, but you're going to be looked upon as one of the fools in Israel. And so after having made this case from the standpoint of how wrong it is, and what the outcome is going to be for the both of them, how they both are going to be drastically changed as a result of this, then she tries another area of pleading. She tries to gain another bit of reasoning from him by saying, Now therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. She asked him just to go speak to the king about it, try to get King David's permission to let him marry her. And of course, the law forbid this. The law forbid a brother to have his sister. In Leviticus 18, verse 9, The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father or daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover. Again, in Leviticus 20:17, And if a man take his sister, his father's daughter or his mother's daughter, and see her nakedness, and she see his nakedness, it is a wicked thing, and they shall be cut off in the sight of their people. He hath uncovered his sister's nakedness, he shall bear his iniquity. So we see the law is very plain about this. But possibly Tamar is reasoning here with her brother that maybe if you appeal to my father, he will waive this law. He'll waive the holy law, and he'll give his consent for you to do this thing under the auspices of marriage. Of course, she probably also knew that if he would deter himself from this and speak to the king, it would give her time to get out of his grasp, give her time to escape from this terrible situation, and then reason would have to prevail, and it would not be done. But we see that in verse 14, Howbeit he would not hearken unto her voice. Amnon would not listen to the pleadings of Tamar. He wouldn't listen to any reasonings that she had. His lust was too great. It was going to overcome him so that he would carry out this terrible crime, not only against his sister, but against God. But being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. So he carried the thing out. It was actually an act of rape. He forced her and he lay with her. What a terrible, terrible crime this is. This is not an act of love at all. This is actually not even a sexual act. It's a crime. It's a crime of one person committed against another person. It is a crime that's committed against God. It is something that is still done very commonly today. It is something that our society has not learned to deal with today. Our legal system seems to be unable to cope with this terrible, terrible sin. Those who commit this type of a sin may be committed to jail, but they are then free again to walk the streets before very long. There's no woman in this nation who is absolutely safe from this terrible, terrible crime. And so we see here where it was committed in the family of David. It's a part of the punishment upon David for the sin that he committed with Bathsheba, for the sin that he committed in also committing a murder after that sin of Bathsheba by having her husband put to death. So here we see a terrible event in the story of David. His family has now stooped to the very lowest in which one of his sons would do this to one of his daughters. We must bear in mind that these things are written for our example. They're written for our admonition, upon whom are come the ends of the world. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Let's be sure that we not let ourselves get in any kind of position to commit a crime like this. We're going to close at this point. Till next time, this is NC Crouch saying, goodbye, friends.